are listening to a free version of Majority Report with Sam Steeder. To support this show and get another 15 minutes of daily program, go to majority.fm, please.
The Majority Report with Sam Steeder.
It is Monday, September 25th, 2017. My name is Sam Steeder. This is the four-time award-winning Majority Report. We are broadcasting live steps from the industrially ravaged Gowanus Canal in the heartland of America, downtown Brooklyn, USA. On the program today, Puerto Rico devastated and somewhat forgotten. Meanwhile, the thousands of non-deaths of the GOP poor health care reform continues. And we'll have a scoring update for our team in the culture war, which was raging this weekend. Meanwhile, Trump will destroy what's left of the Obamacare regulations regardless. And Republican donors pissed that they want their return on investment, calling for destruction of our health care and lower taxes. Where's the books, the YouTube videos on the revelation that Jared Kushner used a private email to conduct White House business? The Alabama special election primary tomorrow. And it's tearing the Republicans apart because of Mitch McConnell. Arthur Laffer and his fairy tale won't die. U.S. strikes Libya. Trump has a new travel ban. Kurds vote in an independence referendum today. And German elections. The fascists. The German fascists. There's a name for them. Get 13% in the latest non-two-party stranglehold elections in Germany. All this and more on today's program, ladies and gentlemen. We got a lot to get to today. What's that? Where do I hear that music? Ladies and gentlemen, very excited around here. We had, as you know, a tech day on Friday. We have a new board. Matt is still getting comfortable with it. You may notice already an upgrade in the quality of the sound. Maybe you don't. Maybe it's not better. Hopefully it's better. But certainly from our end, things are going to go a lot more smoother. It's going to allow us to roll in a bunch of different audio elements. So thank you for your indulgence last Friday. Obviously, a lot to do about football and Kaepernick. We will get to that. And we will also talk about what's going on in Puerto Rico and in Alabama. But first, I just want to draw your attention to the fact that we are still here today. I guess it's conceivable. This is all just some type of dream that I'm living in, like some type of maybe this is what happens when you die. You just imagine that you're doing a daily podcast.
Wow, no
exit for this. I say this because 2 days ago on September 23rd, that would have been Saturday, we were to have at least died or I think maybe begun the beginning of the end. There was some suggestion that we would be hit by a planet that, I don't know, is it safe to say? Well, a planet called Nibiru. I may be mispronouncing it, and if so, I'm sorry. But for those of you who were followers of David Mead, who is a specialist in research and investigations, He had claimed that this Saturday, a constellation, which was prophesied, as you probably know, in the book of Revelation, would reveal itself in the skies over Jerusalem, signaling the beginning of the end of the world as we know it. The idea was that by the end of October, we would be entering, of course, the seven-year tribulation period, over which, you know, massive catastrophic events would happen. It's arguable we got into this a little bit earlier than he thought. I mean, it's possible that maybe he just had his dates wrong, and it was actually like September 23rd of like 2016 or
investigations, huh?
I'd be super frustrated.
Research and investigations. I like them when they get their dates. Missed it by the that apocalypse. Much. Right.
He also claimed that this planet Nibiru is headed towards Earth. And when it passes the planet this year, we will get earthquakes, volcanic eruptions, tidal waves, and other catastrophes. Now, I guess there's an argument. The problem is, it turns out we have technology which can actually locate and confirm or deny the existence of large planets hurtling towards us, even not so large planets. And here is some guy supposedly from NASA debunking it for us, but just one word of caution. Beelzebub comes in many forms, and he will try and misdirect you.
Hi, my name is David Morrison. I'm a NASA space scientist, and I want to talk to you very briefly about Nibiru. I'm doing this because I received a note from a 12-year-old girl recently that said she wondered if the video I made 2 years ago was still valid, that she and her classmates were scared about Nibiru, and could I please explain, from a science point of view, why we know Nibiru is not real and is not a danger. You know, the simplest thing to say is just that there is no credible evidence whatever for the existence of Nibiru. There are no pictures, there's no tracking, there's no astronomical observations. In fact, the origin of the name is a little weird. Nibiru was a minor god in the Babylonian pantheon, probably associated with Jupiter. There's no record that they ever thought of it as a planet. Sometimes we talk about Planet X, but that's a strange term too, because astronomers say Planet X for an object that has not been found, a possible object, like Pluto. When it was being searched for, it was called Planet X. Once it was found, it became Pluto. So it really isn't any evidence here to counter.
There you go. We cut him off because likely story. But if you want to believe that propaganda, and I'll tell you something, you know, it's because of probably Satanists like that that Trump won. That's why Trump won. Because you got scientists going around saying there aren't planets hurtling towards the planet, this planet.
And then people feel marginalized.
Yep.
And then they can't get a date on Tinder. And then Trump wins. Maybe you should be a little bit less arrogant.
Yeah.
A little bit less cocky.
Mr. NASA, doctor, or whatever you call yourself. Folks, if you are a parent, September is always a little bit miserable for you because the kids are going back to school. You're getting psyched for the idea of the new routine, to get back into routine, but you're also dealing with all sorts of, like, I have this week two different curriculum nights. I have a meeting of my preschool co-op. I got, I mean, the whole thing. And you got
preschool
permission, permission slips. It's UPK, but I still chip in.
You ever just show up to those meetings? You're like, hey, I'm sure you're doing a great job. Thanks.
Yeah, bye, everybody. But you're getting back into the groove. Time for cooking might become a little bit less of a priority. Luckily, for less than $10 a meal, Blue Apron makes it easy to create delicious seasonal recipes with step-by-step instructions, pre-proportioned ingredients delivered right to your door. You don't even have to go to the grocery store. As you know, at my house, We get it on Wednesdays, Wednesday nights, Thursday nights. Sometimes we don't have time for it. We do it Thursday and Saturday night. Stuff stays good for about a week. It's good in the box for at least a couple of days. We have tremendous meals, easy to cook. Kids now enjoy, I would say 50% of the time, they will help us out with the cooking. Some of the meals available in September include summer vegetable egg paninis with Calabrian chili mayonnaise and caprese salad. Oh, my God. Soy glazed pork and rice cakes with bok choy and marinated green beans. Skillet vegetable chili with cornmeal and cheddar drop biscuits. My diet is not going well. Garlic butter shrimp and corn with green bean salad and roasted purple tomatoes. Each meal comes with a step-by-step, easy-to-follow recipe card. Pre-proportioned ingredients, like I said, and can be prepared in less than 40 minutes. Check out this week's menu. Get your first three meals for free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/majority. That's blueapron.com/majority. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. And speaking of my diet, when it comes to snacks, you basically got two options, right? Delicious and a billion calories, or boring and tasteless. It does not have to be that way, folks. I've learned my lesson. Nature Box.
Third way.
Has over 100 snacks and tastes so good. They're all made from high quality, simple ingredients. And I will also confess something now. Sometimes I just throw a bag into the kids' lunch.
Oh.
I always feel bad about it because I have little containers where I put their snacks in. But sometimes if I'm in a rush, I'll just stick a whole bag in there. And I don't have to feel so bad about it. 100 calories, a lot of these things. So it's not like they're eating a bunch of junk, but they like to, you know, they like to have
little junks.
Little salty stuff. Cookies.
It's not junk, but it tastes enough like junk to be fun.
Well, I've got like the healthy little tray with the carrots and the cucumber and the apples. And then I give them like a sweet thing and a salty thing. My kids love the honey Dijon pretzels. Milo more than Saul. Saul loves the vanilla bean wafers. Plus, NatureBox adds new snacks inspired by real customer feedback. They use local, you know, latest food trends. They have professional chefs. It's so simple. Just go to naturebox.com. Choose the snacks you want. NatureBox will deliver them right to your door. There's no risk. If you ever try a snack you don't like, NatureBox will replace it for free. So you're sure to find your new snack obsession. Right now, you'll save even more. NatureBox is offering our listeners, wow, this is amazing. Hey, did you see this?
No.
50% on your first order when you go to naturebox.com/majority. That's naturebox.com/majority for 50% off your first order. This is a win-win. naturebox.com/majority. And this one I'm very excited to do. Because I'm in the midst of using this service as we speak.
Benefiting us in real time.
Do you have any idea where to post your job to find the best candidates if you're hiring?
Well, obviously I do now because of our friend.
No, that's true. I would have had no idea. I think I did Craigslist the first time.
You didn't have any idea.
The first time I think I did Craigslist, and it did not work out well. ZipRecruiter, you can post your job to 100-plus job sites with just one click. And their powerful technology efficiently matches the right people to your job better than anyone else. Somebody was worried about this. They said to me, like, there's algorithms and whatnot. No, they match up what people present for themselves online. And what they're searching for online with what you put up there. That's why ZipRecruiter is different. Unlike other job sites, ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them. In fact, 80% of employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the site within just 24 hours. All right, I really should put the thing on pause because I'm getting a little bit overwhelmed. I mean, this has been slower than I thought, but we have gotten so many great candidates. And the interesting thing is, like, I'm going out there looking for people. I keep running into our job post listing. It's weird. You don't have to juggle emails or calls to your office. You simply screen, rate, and manage candidates all in one place with ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use dashboard. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by businesses of all sizes, the most qualified job candidates, and immediate results. Folks, you know I don't like to spend cash. I don't. But I did the ZipRecruiter for free, and then I upgraded, and it was the smartest decision I have ever made in business. Right now, you can go and post your job on ZipRecruiter for free right now. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/majority. That's ZipRecruiter.com/majority. One more time, try it for free. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/majority. I'm telling you, the best time to do this is when you're not even hiring. When you're months off. I should have done this a long time ago. Kelly, with all due respect, she gave me notice like a day before vacation. All right.
In your face, Sita. Have a nature box right. And
I
shut up.
I ripped up her commissary card. Because usually...
It was a very dramatic moment.
We give commissary rights to emeritus producers. She can only go in and she can't get to the hot food in the commissary now. So, all right. I want to talk about Puerto Rico. It has been utterly devastated. And look, I've seen various reports on this. There is some suggestion that, in fact, the response by FEMA and the military has been pretty good. Chicago Tribune reports that aid is flowing to Puerto Rico. They are facing a growing humanitarian crisis there, though. So this is still very, very early in the recovery process. We're still in the rescue and recovery process. There have been reports that about 40% of the island now has electricity. The other 60% may not get electricity back for months. Here is the San Juan mayor. Her name is Carmen Yulín Cruz, talking to the Washington Post about what's going on there. It's very difficult to send down any type of broadcasters or anything like that because it's just tough to get the connectivity to actually get around the country. But here is Carmen Yulín Cruz.
As the days unfold, the reality of the horror, and I'm not only saying that in order to paint a picture that people can identify with. There is horror in the streets. There is no electricity anywhere in Puerto Rico. But people are actually becoming prisoners in their own homes. Looting is starting to take place at night. People tell us often, I don't have my medication. I don't have my insulin. I don't have my blood pressure. Medication. I don't have food. I don't have drinking water. The elderly and the children are the most affected one. We have a very difficult situation with people that rely on medical assistance to live. HIV patients, dialysis patients, people that are bedridden. Where do you take them? Where do you establish enough medical facilities? I walked into an elderly home today. The elderly were just reaching out the window. They had no drinking water. Next door neighbors had no food. A good portion of San Juan is flooded. So in a couple of days, that water, which already has gasoline and diesel and oil and everything that comes to the sewage system out there for everyone to walk in, it will be very difficult to start dealing with the smell produced by all the feces that are coming out of it. You know, we had 1,260 something refugees. Most of them have gone home. And what did they go home to? Nothing. No electricity, no drinking water, no roof literally over your head.
It's utter devastation. It's utter devastation there now. The Puerto Rican governor, Ricardo Rosello, is warning that his government needs broader assistance from the federal government. They're looking for more help from the Pentagon. There is, unless there's a formal request from the Trump administration, lawmakers cannot begin working on a federal relief bill for the latest round of damage caused by record-setting hurricanes. There has to be a request that comes from the president. It's just the way it works. Donald Trump, of course, has said nothing about Puerto Rico. You have millions of Americans living without water and electricity, without the ability to get food, and there's no mobilization. Now, on some level, FEMA and the military are functioning without sort of the attention from the president. But the problem with this is that when we get further down the road, when they actually, there's an attempt to rebuild, there's going to be just so no awareness, no public awareness of the need for this. I mean, when you think about the hundreds of billions of dollars between Harvey and Sandy that were needed to repair these areas, you've got Puerto Rico completely wiped out. The agriculture on Puerto Rico, which provided a massive amount of you know, aside from tourism, which, I mean, I don't know, there's going to be tourism there. 80% of the crop value in Puerto Rico was destroyed. And you're talking about $780 million just in agricultural costs. That's before you even start to look at, like, the costs of housing, of institutions. Here's the thing. Puerto Rico already imports about 80 to 85% of its food. We've had on this program a couple of guests who've talked about the Jones Act. The Jones Act is a law that was to protect maritime interests and essentially American, I guess, continental ports, mainland ports. So you cannot have ships go directly to Puerto Rico. They first have to go to, I don't know, Miami or to some port in the Carolinas before they can ship goods to Puerto Rico. And it's going to make it prohibitively expensive to get food and infrastructure through private markets to get it down there. So, I mean, there has to be a waiver of the Jones Act or a permanent repeal of the Jones Act, and it has to happen soon. The other thing to anticipate, or I guess you should know about that, is that, you know, one of the places that Puerto Rico gets their food from, or the places would be the Dominican Republic and St. Martin. I mean, all of these islands in the Caribbean that have also been hit by, if not Maria, was it Jose or Irma, rather. So there's a real problem down there. And I just wanted to make people, you know, conscious of it. There was this was going around apparently from a Facebook post that Hayes had tweeted out. A group of us got together and volunteered at the behest of the municipality of San Juan. We found a building, 14 stories with over 200 residents. They had no power. Power only for a couple hours a day on emergency power generator. The water pump was broken, so water was permanently unavailable, both for drinking and basic hygiene. Both elevators also busted. Some folks we spoke to couldn't remember when they had eaten last. They had no drinking water. The ground floor public restroom that was being used by many residents, because it had water being on the lowest level, was a putrid mess. At least four people needed to be evacuated in ambulances because they were severely dehydrated, needed dialysis, or had other urgent medical needs. The nearest hospital, literally within walking distance, wouldn't take these folks because of and because of failing phone service, they couldn't reach the 911. So it's just utterly devastating down there. And you're seeing mobilization by charity and whatnot, but there needs to be more. And then the question is like, you know, we already had the situation where Puerto Rico was being drained of all its resources by vulture capitalists. Now it's just going to be God knows. It's also going to be, I can tell you right now, we're going to see a massive wave of migration to New York and I would imagine Miami. Florida in general. Florida in general, probably. I don't know. There's maybe other places in the country that have
possibly
a large Puerto Rican.
Parts of Massachusetts, actually.
Yeah.
Holyoke's actually a very important city in relation to Puerto Rico.
I wonder if it could actually like actually get to the point where it would change the politics of Miami, of Florida.
I mean, it wouldn't take that many new people to change the politics of Florida.
Nope.
I mean, it's, yeah.
It's going to be fascinating to see, but also, so we'll put a link up on the homepage at majority.fm if you are looking for what you can do for Puerto Rico from a charity perspective. But, you know, more importantly, we need to do something politically on this. But I sent you a link to the Huffington Post piece, and we'll put that on majority.fm. Meanwhile, when you call your senators about Puerto Rico, it's a twofer. Remind them that this Graham Cassidy bill, it's unclear to me where it's at right now, but supposedly Ted Cruz now wants in on some of the goodies that are being doled out. He says he doesn't think he or Mike Lee is going to vote for this. Rand Paul, however, says he's open if there's massive cuts in the block grants. They have offered Lisa Murkowski an expansion of Obamacare. Remember, in Alaska, they have the expanded Medicaid. They will get a 3% bump in funding, at least till 2027 when the bottom falls out. Maine will get a 43% bump in spending because they haven't expanded the Medicaid franchise. There's an interesting dynamic with Louisiana. There is apparently a stipulation in Graham Cassidy that states that expanded Medicaid after December 2015 get extra money. Why would that be? What's the logic of that? I don't know what the logic of it is. Just coincidentally, Cassidy's home state, Louisiana, expanded January 2016 upon the election of a Democratic governor. Indeed, who does, in fact, oppose the bill. Um, it's unclear what's happening with this. There is a desperation. Chuck Grassley was asked over the weekend, I guess it was. Maybe it was the end of last week. He had a conference call with Iowa reporters. And he expressed support for Graham Cassidy. And this is what he had to say. You know, I could maybe give you 10 reasons why this bill shouldn't be considered. But Republicans campaigned on this so often that you have a responsibility to carry out what you said in the campaign. That's pretty much of a reason as the substance of the bill.
So even though they actually campaigned to the left of Obamacare, insofar as they had any actual message on the campaign trail.
Right. They were saying subsidies, premiums too expensive, doesn't cover enough people. Yep. But we're just going to pass anything because the important thing is that we want to be able to say we did something. And
so they're going to campaign to the left, lied about it. Now they want to pass a bill that will actually do what they made up it did, essentially.
Yep. There's still some questions as to whether or not the Senate parliamentarian will allow this bill to pass in the Senate, or I should say be offered in the Senate under reconciliation. It allows states to waive the Affordable Care Act's regulations. It's a hard case to make that has to do with anything to do with the budget, which, according to the Byrd rule, it must. It's conceivable that McConnell would get rid of the Byrd rule if that's all that stood between it. There's some people who are saying the Alaska Purchase is probably unconstitutional. That is Murkowski's gift that she could just basically continue to have Obamacare as a means of repealing Obamacare. So we have this deadline on the 30th, the end of this week, to pass it under the reconciliation bill. There has been, Graham is saying that they're going to try and do it in the 2018 budget reconciliation bill as well, although that seems to me to be a lot harder, but who knows? So this thing's never going to die. Sort of like our culture war. It's never going to die. We may talk a little more about it in the fun half, but I want to just get to, obviously, what this weekend, the big story. Well, Friday night, Donald Trump, well, yeah. I should also say that in addition to Grassley making promises apparently to his voters, there's a lot of Republicans out there who made promises to their donors. The Koch brothers said, I think back in June, we're going to withhold $400 million until we get our return on investment. So there's going to be a lot of dissatisfaction from a few very wealthy people if the Republicans can't manage to pull this off.
What's so hard about ripping apart Medicaid, eh? How much goddamn money we need to put into you to make some people starve on the street? Not even a single goddamn tax cut? People still running around
coming up,
thinking that even though they have a goddamn stomach cancer, you still have a right to see a doctor. What's the problem, eh?
The tax cuts are next up, and we get a clip from Arthur Laffer a little bit later.
It was
in
just
the
plant a car bomb in Jimmy Kimmel's limo instead of paying you to look, not do a goddamn thing.
Jimmy Kimmel just ruined the entire party for them.
I think he's. I can't wait until
Kimmel comes out in favor of Kaepernick, and then sinks this whole this next initiative. All right,
right.
So here's how everything is sort of. Here's how you could easily create a unified theory here. So last week, there's a failure by all accounts when John McCain came out and said, I'm not going to vote for this, even though my best friend in the world put it up. When he came out and he said, I'm not going to vote for this, it appeared that Trump care was dead. Meanwhile, so it appears that Trump care is dead. So what does Donald Trump do? He heads to Alabama for one of his patented rallies. This rally is ostensibly in support of Luther Strange, who is the establishment choice to win in the special election for Jeff Sessions' seat, Senate seat in Alabama, against Roy Moore. And this is the runoff, I believe, election between the two. The runoff primary. Roy Moore, as you know, was a former judge. He was kicked off the judiciary. I can't remember if it was because he was in defiance of the court because of marriage equality or defiance of the court because he was insisting upon putting a Ten Commandments in his courthouse. Nevertheless, the guy's a loon. He is supported by Steve Bannon and the MAGA coalition of Gorka and Palin. This just sounds like I'm making all this up, but it's actually
sounds
true.
It sounds like supervillains in a comic book series fighting each other.
Honestly.
I will get you, Strange. Your politics are facile.
Luther Strange will go down to the MAGA power.
Luther Strange has disrupted our
He's
plans
a lipstick,
for
a
far
lipstick
too
on
long.
This pig and blah, blah, blah. So Donald Trump goes down there. Now remember, he is fighting Steve Bannon. He has lost his bid to repeal Obamacare. He needs to appeal to these rabid fans in Alabama. How is he going to do that? What is he going to reach for to appeal to these people when he's feeling like some of my cred has been, is threatened by Steve Bannon being on the outside fighting me. Some of my credit's threatened by not being able to repeal Obamacare. What can I use to appeal to these people? Oh, I know. There's got to be a black guy doing something bad somewhere that I don't like.
Wouldn't you love to see one of these NFL owners, when somebody disrespects our flag, to say, get that son of a bitch off the field right now. Out. He's fired. He's fired!
He's strolling around, giving him the, what about that, huh?
Now,
of course, he's referring to Colin Kaepernick, who, for all intents and purposes, was fired by the NFL. They're refusing to hire him despite the fact that by anybody, any expert on football or NFL considers him to be a significantly better quarterback than about half, at least, in the league. So Donald Trump launches this diatribe. He gets the cheers, of course, because people love the idea that he's crapping on Colin Kaepernick. Because Colin Kaepernick is African-American and also protesting the way that black people are treated in this country by very quietly taking a knee during the national anthem. Like I say, he is not on an NFL team now. So Donald Trump goes and takes to Twitter and he decides, like, hey, this is really working for me. And now it's not just about the flag. It's visiting the White House. He writes, going to the White House is considered a great honor for a championship team.
Was.
Stephen Curry.
Was.
Right. Well, he didn't use was. Stephen Curry is hesitating. Therefore, invitation is withdrawn. And so, remember, a significant portion of the Patriots also refused to go to the White House. I don't know if he remembers when Tom Brady had a serious family situation he had to attend.
Don't remind me.
Totally understand.
So LeBron James, not a Stephen Curry teammate, says, you bum. Stephen Curry already said he ain't going. So therefore, there ain't no invite. Going to the White House was a great honor until you showed up. So there you have it. Donald Trump, I think he launched like a dozen or half a dozen tweets about football during this time.
Retweeted someone saying how Pat Tillman gave his life for the country.
Yes, Pat Tillman.
That's a lot.
I could tell you something. Would be the probably the first guy in the NFL, if he was still alive and in the NFL, to have taken a knee with Kaepernick. First white guy, without a doubt.
Yes.
And so all around the league, you had people coming out. And I want to say in support of Kaepernick, but some of it was also just, I feel like we've got to do this. I mean, this is the thing that I, you know, this is how Donald Trump will water down. The existence of Donald Trump will water down the meaning of these protests and convolute the meaning of these protests. Look, the protest by Colin Kaepernick was about the way black people are devalued in this country. It was about white supremacy and about living in a country where you're not even safe from the police. In fact, the police are a threat to you. The monopoly of power by the government is threatening to you because of your race. And what happened this weekend is a lot of NFL players took the knee, basically kneeled, one leg down during the anthem. Others, I guess, wrapped their arms around each other to show solidarity with other football players. I mean, I think that, you know, I don't know. You don't know what's in the minds of people, but there was a lot of opportunity for people to say they supported Kaepernick. And not just Kaepernick. The idea that there's a problem in this country with white supremacy and all the implications of that. A lot of opportunity. It's not like anybody in the NFL wasn't aware of it. Some people are afraid for their job. I get that. But there's also a lot of like pretenders and people who are just trying to make sure that their brand is not harmed by being too closely associated with the president. I don't want to say this, but Tom Brady, you may be one of those guys. Now, with that said, he did say a couple of weeks ago that Kaepernick should be hired by somebody. But take this guy, for instance, Rex Ryan. This guy is a huge douchebag. And here he is, and here is Rex Ryan, like all the other owners in the NFL, coming out. But like the owners as well, I would say. Coming out and saying, like, I've got to do this, otherwise my players are not going to play for me. And I don't want to be seen, like, to be too closely associated with Donald Trump. Here it is.
Reading these comments, and it's appalling to me. Calling our players, you know, SOBs and all that kind of stuff, that's not the men that I know. The men that I know in the locker room, I'm proud of. I'm proud to be associated with those people.
Yeah. Also, you know, Bill Simmons made a good point on Twitter. ESPN will give this guy a platform for this stuff, but their own reporter, when she criticized Trump, they were nowhere to be found. But here is another example of a guy who's twisting himself into knots to make sure his brand is untarnished by Donald Trump. Here's Terry Bradshaw, just making sure that people don't feel like he's a jerk. And, you know, and I guarantee you, in a couple of weeks, we're going to start hearing people who are complaining because they had to come out and say this, because we live in such an oppressive society that if you don't in any way push back against the white supremacist, people think that you are not pushing back against the white supremacist. And that's wrong, and it's unfair, and it's censorship. And here's Terry Bradshaw basically, you know, providing what his PR people or his business manager or whomever told him to say.
A bit, but I want to hear your thoughts. All of you, actually. Start with you, Terry.
Yeah, it's hard to believe that I'm going to say something about the most powerful man in the greatest country in the world, but probably like a lot of you, I was somewhat surprised that the president of the United States came out attacking NFL players for them exercising the freedom of speech. While I don't condone the protest during our national anthem, this is America. If our country stands for anything, folks, what? It's freedom. People died for that freedom. I'm not sure if our president understands those rights, that every American has the right to speak out and also to protest. Believe me, these athletes do love this great country of ours. Personally, I think they should concentrate on serious issues like North Korea and health care rather than ripping into athletes.
Yeah. Okay. So he doesn't condone these protests, which mean that you wouldn't accept or allow them or sanction them in any way.
Yes. Right.
So I feel the exact same way the president does, but I just don't think the president should weigh in on it. So just be, you know, I mean, I think people are aware of this, but this is how, you know, protest gets co-opted and ends up bringing you nothing in the end. When it becomes about, I mean, this is the problem. It becomes about Donald Trump's a jackass rather than there's a real problem in the country of white supremacy. Here is
Just quick, Alyssa Milano had a similar instructive thing on this point. I'll put up the tweet.
Okay. Okay, so Alyssa Milano writes, if the ratings down, Trump will use it. In solidarity with Take the Knee and the NFL, let's watch as much football as humanly possible. And somebody wrote back, I thought we were boycotting the NFL, though. This is why y'all can't co-opt black political expression the way you do. Colin Kaepernick refused to stand for the anthem long before Trump started having temper tantrums about professional athletes. This is the point. His protest is about police brutality, not this single-issue liberal outrage about the authoritarian-in-chief. I mean, that is, that's what happens in this environment. And the protest gets co-opted, and the meaning of it becomes you can't criticize football players for protesting if you're the president. As opposed to, oh, we have a real problem with police brutality, white supremacy in this country.
Yeah, first and foremost, we have a real problem with police murder, violence, white supremacy. And then second, and far less important, I disagree with any frame that suggests that we would prefer Donald Trump talking about major international or domestic issues. Like, what he's doing with the football players is racist and disgusting and is bread and butter, but I would way prefer him beefing on Twitter with LeBron than beefing on Twitter with Kim Jong-un.
That's right. Maybe we can just sort of four corners this thing until...
Exactly. They might need to take one for the team.
Here is the Brainiacs at Fox and Friends, Ainsley Earhart and Brian Kilmeade, really hashing this out over the protest. And it starts with a picture of, I can't even remember the name of the owner of the Washington football team.
Schneider, I think.
Yeah. Arms locked arm in arm. You know, Bob Kraft came out and had a statement. The
check what IIMG.
The whole point of this stuff is really performative in many respects, and they're just there. You know, it's important to keep the focus on this protest. They want to make it about Trump being inappropriate so they can sort of have their cake and eat it too. But there must be focus. And here are the Fox and Friends people focusing it.
I think personally, I've been out front saying how outrageous I think taking a knee during the national anthem from Colin Kaepernick in there, as you guys know, from day one. Because even if you're outspoken in sports, it's no problem. Muhammad Ali, outspoken. Charles Barkley, outspoken. Curt Schilling, outspoken. No one has any problem with
Pause it.
An opinion.
Nobody has a problem. Nobody had a problem with Muhammad Ali for being outspoken. What? Never mind contemporaneous. Here's Breitbart just on when Ali passed away. Muhammad Ali, no hero, just a hypocrite for dodging the draft. I mean, are you kidding me?
How vintage Breitbart's racism is. They don't even pretend to respect Muhammad Ali. Jesus.
It was, yeah, I mean, we're decades away from that. He's been completely, his militancy has been completely whitewashed. He's now like one of the most revered sports icons in this country. Contemporaneously, Muhammad Ali, and for changing his name even? Are you kidding me? But
it's Mama call him Clay. I'ma call him Clay.
You guys know from day one, because even if you're outspoken in sports, it's no problem. Muhammad Ali, outspoken. Charles Barkley, outspoken. Curt Schilling,
I don't
outspoken.
Think so.
No one has any problem with, they have an opinion, but they don't have a problem with people speaking out. In fact, a lot of times, they get broadcasting contracts. Like Richard Sherman, when he talked about mediocre, he's going to get the biggest broadcasting contract when he's done playing with the Seahawks.
You're saying there's a time and a place?
But with the president, and I understand his sentiment, made things so much worse, and the language he used was terrible. When you have Robert Kraft coming out against you, you know you've gone too far. Robert Kraft spends time in the Lincoln bedroom. He's friends with President Trump beyond their wealth and their riches and their circles. He made things immeasurably worse by speaking out. And I know what his intention was, but the language used was galvanizing the wrong direction.
Well, Brian, he is the voice for a lot of people out there. A lot of people agree with him and are scared to give their opinions. I'm not saying I agree with what he's saying. I'm just saying there are a handful of people out there, Brian.
We're going to dial it back, but I want you to understand what the debate is here. It's tactics were wrong, sentiment right, to sentiment right. And we're really oppressed because we have to be aware that Colin Kaepernick took a knee.
The voice for a lot of people out there. A lot of people agree with him and are scared to give their opinions. I'm not saying I agree with what he's saying. I'm just saying there are a handful of people out there, Brian, that really feel like he's their voice.
There you go. You never get to hear the voice of people who think black guys are doing it wrong. We've never had an opportunity in this country. We've never really had the freedom to express dissatisfaction with what the black guy is doing. Do you know what I mean?
Not a single time. It's totally unfair.
Maybe a couple of years. Maybe a couple of...
Yeah, I think I know the years you're talking about. By the way, they were doing it right then. I got nothing to add to that matter.
It may have been a couple of years, but now it's like... You can never, ever really express your opinion about what the black guy is doing.
It's such a bizarre...
Now people just started giving you this cross-eyed look.
That's such a bizarre mentality, though.
That's why Trump won.
You see Colin Kaepernick taking the knee. Then the NASA scientist tells you that Revelation didn't predict the Earth blowing up. Then this girl you really wanted doesn't match with you on Tinder. Boom, Trump.
Trump wins.
It's the soft bigotry of low expectation for these people, I have to say. I mean, to coin a phrase. But obviously race is first and foremost with all of this. But it's also like, I mean, what kind of life are you experiencing? Like, an athlete's dumb political beliefs can somewhat impact my enjoyment of the game, but like, could you imagine really being like, I can't watch it anymore because this one guy is doing this? I mean, it's just so, it's like, what's up with your life?
Though. It is just like,
it's just a reminder of their lack of power.
No, it just has to do with people, it is another example of black people taking something away. They're just supposed to play the game. They're getting paid to do it. And they just don't want to see their game tainted in any way. I mean, can you imagine these people tainting the national anthem? Why, I've been watching football for decades now, watching proud American football players salute the flag for decades. And to have this ripped apart from us. What's this video? What? Play this.
Let me read something to y'all real quick. It wasn't until 2009 that until 2009, no NFL players stood for the national anthem because players actually stayed in the locker room as the anthem played. The players were moved to the field during the national anthem because it was seen as a marketing strategy to make the athletes look more patriotic. The United States Department of Defense paid the National Football League $5.4 million between 2011 and 2014, and the National Guard $6.7 million between 2013 and 2015 to stage on-field patriotic ceremonies as part of military recruitment budget line items.
And that's
this is
why
stuff that has been written.
And there is that.
That's
why Senator McCain co-signed the statement saying, I mean, they looked into it and said this is paid patriotism.
Let's marinate on that for a second as we go back to football. Very interesting. Thank you for bringing that up. When we come back.
All right, so that's ESPN First Take. What is it? Stephen A. Smith, Max Kellerman? I don't know. I don't watch that show. Well, I'm outraged now that Colin Kaepernick is now wasting taxpayer dollars by not standing when we've paid for that.
I think we need a libertarian Colin Kaepernick character, whereas he just doesn't want to take the DOD money.
I mean,
it's a boondoggle. Wait, I can't hear you.
I mean, this is, this is the way that Donald Trump rolls. And, you know, again, it's been the same. It's just sort of bearing the dynamic naked. Right. That's all that we're seeing. We're just seeing the subtext move is now the text. Period. End of story. And end of program. We're heading into the fun half. Folks, you can support this show by becoming a member at jointhemajorityreport.com. Going to take a quick break. Head into the fun half. 646-257-3920 is the number. There we'll have a couple more clips of sound, some stories, and your phone calls and IMs. We'll talk about this runoff. Donald Trump called into the Rick and Bubba show this weekend.
Hey, Bubba.
All right, we'll be right back.